on. Welcome back to another episode of First and 56. Rondo Griffin, Anthony Gulick, your host as always. Anthony, it's trade deadline, and for the NFL, it's actually been quite an eventful trade deadline. A lot of different moves. Colts waiting until the buzzer to make theirs. So we might as well start off the show and talk about it. So there's definitely a lot of desire by Colts fans to be sellers. You know, Debbie, some thoughts there of maybe there should some people that we should send off. End up sending off a guy who, I can't remember if I said it on the show or not, but I said I didn't see a point in it. But Nyheim Hines is officially the newest member of the Buffalo Bills. Trade officially goes down as Hines goes to Buffalo. We, in return, receive Zach Moss and a conditional six, which can become a fifth. We don't know the conditions yet, what makes it turn into that. But, I mean, Gulick, was there even a point? What do you take from that?
Oh, in my opinion, not really. You know, trading Hines to the Bills. I mean, is it for him thinking about Hines? That's a great move for him. I mean, him going to the Bills. You know, he's going to a really good team, and they like to throw a lot. And you know, he's a guy who theoretically, you know, is basically you know a slot receiver. You know, plays in the slot a lot. You know, he's since 2018, I saw the stat. He's like fifth amongst running backs in the NFL in receiving yards. So he's a very good player. But the haul is just confusing to me. I mean, Zach Moss, you know, he was a draft pick a couple years ago. He hasn't really produced much. And then the conditional sixth that could turn into a fifth. I was expecting, you know, a fourth round pick in the deal, like say a fifth that could turn to a fourth or a fourth round pick. But I guess we'll just settle for this. But just like we said, Hines is not one of the players that we thought were going to get traded. We were all thinking maybe Stephon Gilmore was a big one. Kenny Moore, Yannick Ngakoue, guys like that, some of these bigger names on defense. Hines is not one of the first names that came to mind. But then trade talks started heating up yesterday, and then we're thinking left with like 5 minutes left in the trade deadline, you know, he's going to stay. And then boom, he gets traded. So, you know, it's definitely a love-hate relationship with this trade. You know, I love to see Hines go to a better situation where I think he's going to do well in, but it just sucks to see him go because he was, you know, he's one of my favorite players, you know, since 2018 when he was drafted. So,
yeah, you know, like definitely a fan favorite. Obviously had some, you know, utility. I said it when he was drafted, it kind of reminds you of Darren Sproles a little bit. He you know, he's not going to be between the tackles guy. He's going to be a passing back, but give him the ball in space, you know, he can hurt you. And he's always been the greatest compliment to our main guy. You know, he started the team, he was Mac's backup. You know, then becomes JT's backup. But again, he had a role on this team, and when it was utilized, it was amazing. Obviously, I think the best year became with Phillip Rivers, you know, and I said it. He's basically become Eckler 2.0, and you kind of saw that out of him. Never, I'll say we never really used him to his full ability, but hey, now he goes to a Buffalo team, and you watch out. That's a very high-powered offense. I'm not going to say he tips a scale or anything, but at least in terms of being a compliment to Singletary, he's definitely an improvement over James Cook and obviously Zach Moss, who ended up getting back. So, I guess it boils down to how we started the show. It's a little weird. It feels more like one of those moves of to appease Hines as opposed to helping the team.
Yeah, that's kind of what it sounds like.
Yeah, obviously, and I got proved wrong by that. I was like, the NFL has typically one of the most boring trade deadlines. You're not, even if we are sellers, we're not going to like maybe one, two moves at best. Now, obviously, the NFL went buck crazy today, and hey, applause to the NFL because it's about time. Like I said, the NFL typically has the most boring trade deadline, but I mean, a lot of big names move. You know, Bradley Chubb gets moved. Brandon Cooks doesn't get moved, but Chase Claypool moves. A lot of different guys, you know, name guys move around the league. So you definitely like to see it. But in terms of us, as I said, I'm like, you're not going to really sell off guys. Like, yes, we name dropped, you know, Gilmore, Yannick Ngakoue, Kenny Moore. We dropped them as potential moves, but reality kind of kicked in. You're not going to do that because for everyone saying, you know, oh, we need to be sellers and we need to just set for the future and rebuild, You can do that, but then the problem is when you do that. So let's just hypothetically say, you know, you trade Gilmore, you trade Kenny Moe, and like you trade Ryan Kelly, right? Great. Now you have holes at those positions. So those draft picks you've acquired, you now have to use those specifically on those positions. You're not necessarily rebuilding. You're more so just you're starting over. And this team isn't in a situation of where you need to start over. More than anything, this team's in need of a retooling. This season's probably, as annoying as it is, even though we're still right there, this season's probably over. But you're still right on the cusp. You don't need to rebuild. It just needs a retool. Yeah, we got to be patient. It's going to be annoying about it, but we're not in a situation of, I'll say the Bears, where the Bears kind of need to really rebuild, really. I mean, they're what they're doing is really kind of weird. Makes no sense to me. But point being is, we're in a situation of where we're an offseason away. Now, it's got to be a good offseason, but we're one offseason away.
I agree with that. And it's just like you said, it's not really a rebuild. It's more of a retool. So, you know, we kind of saw this with the 2017 going into 2018 with Andrew Luck. You know, we had Brissett and we won maybe three or four games that year, but you see the roster and you're like, man, like they're just a few pieces away. With Andrew Luck coming back, you go out and draft Nelson, you draft Leonard, you draft Hines, you draft Torrey that year. You know, they made all the right moves and then you ended up in the playoffs. You know, it's just, it's, you know, a few moves away from this roster being very, very good. So, in retrospect, you know, some big changes might be coming in with the coaches and the general manager. We don't know yet, but it's more of a wait and see thing because it's hard to say who's going to be coaching this football team next year.
Yeah, you know, and obviously speaking of coaching this football team, one of the other moves we made, so Marcus Brady is gone. No more offensive coordinator. Frank Reich is officially taking over the offensive coordinator duties. That one, actually, now let's no forget the nice gloves off. Of all people who should have got fired, and I'm not saying, oh, fire Frank Reich right now. And by all means, if you're on that ship, I'm not talking you off that ship. I'm with you at the end of the season. Earlier, sure, why not? I don't care. That feels so scapegoated to me, and it feels like we've been having this scapegoat thing happen like the past few years. You know, last year it was Wentz. Like I said, Wentz was a problem. He was not the problem. This year was sort of Matt Ryan. Hey, Matt Ryan was a problem, not the problem. And even then, I'm kind of walking it back a little bit because I'm looking at it statistically. I'm just like, if you protect this man, we're probably close to undefeated. I mean, after this week just happened, he's still fifth in passing yards in the league. Like after games have been played. Yes, the interceptions are bad, fumbles are bad. I'm just saying, very scapegoaty. Now you fire Marcus Brady. Okay, look, the offense has been stalling. So, I mean, yeah, sure, but it still feels scapegoaty to me. I don't think that is going to tip the needle much. What about you?
It's a move that doesn't make sense to me. It makes zero sense to me because he doesn't do anything. I mean, granted, maybe that's why. But at the same time, like this guy was what, quarterback's coach? So he was the first choice as soon as Sirianni left. He was the first choice to be offensive coordinator. We didn't really go out and interview a lot of other guys. But he doesn't call the plays. The head coach calls the plays. He I don't really know what he does for the team. I mean, it's a situation where we saw, like, tweets earlier today saying, like, that Frank Reich is going to take over the offensive coordinator duties. He already does that. He literally already does that. I don't know what the point of this move is. Like, it's just like you said, it's scapegoating. I don't know what this organization is doing, just blaming. You're blaming the wrong people. If we want to blame anybody, let's blame Chris Strasser. How about that? Let's blame the offensive line coach. Blame the offensive line coach, because if this line played well, you know, we'd be in contention right now. And I still wholeheartedly believe that, because after watching this game, I still don't think Sam Ehlinger is better than Matt Ryan. I mean, just like you said, yeah, the turnovers are bad, but, you know, he's still fifth in the league in passing. You know, I don't know. I mean, there's I feel like the scapegoating issue is a problem, but they're blaming the wrong people.
Yeah. And again, so like in terms of Murphy not doing anything, it depends on your head coach. So when your head coach is an offensive guy, he kind of works closely with the offensive coordinator. When the defensive guy works closely with the defensive coordinator. So Marcus Britton, in terms of his role, he helps, right, come up with the game plan and the playbook. I would say it's like a 60-40 responsibility thing. But I'm with you on that. It's not like Brady has had the headset when we're on offense. Reich has had the headset. And so what I take out to say this, I'm like, so do you mean to tell me that it's Marcus Brady saying to keep running the ball out of the shotgun when we're in the red zone? Or is that Reich? You know what I mean? Like, I guess we'll get answers via on the field in the next coming weeks with Brady gone. But if we see more of the same of what we've seen, which is run the ball out of the shotgun in the red zone, you know, trick. I get the trick plays worked this past week, so I won't bring them, but I'm in the past, we've seen them be dumb. But my favorite, the screen pass on third and long that gets you 2 yards. Like, so are you basically saying that is Marcus Brady? Because if it's not, and we see that same BS these next coming weeks, then who are you going to blame? So it, yeah, scapegoating, and kind of like how I said last week when they made the move to Ellinger, is this a panic move to save your job? Yes, I'm aware Ursay came out and said that, oh, he's safe, blah, blah, blah. I'm not buying it. I think that's just, you know, I got to say something to the camera. Here it is. You know, it's kind of like I've always said. It's like any sport. Oh, are you trading this player? No, absolutely not. Untouchable. Next day he's traded. So I feel like that's basically what we got in terms of the, I would say in this firing, in terms of Ursay coming out and saying that Reich is safe. Because, like, I'm not sorry. There's no way in hell he's safe. I understand that you can't go out there and say that. I mean, obviously, we had our guest on here last week and how Ron Rivera's like, just like, oh, why are you behind? Quarterback. And has to walk that back.
Yeah.
So I get it. But this is also where I'm just like, Marshawn Lynch had it right. Don't say anything. It works out better for you that way. But yeah, it's weird.
I don't know, man. Like, it's just like you said, everything that these guys say, I'm taking it with a grain of salt, and I think it's a bunch of BS. Like, you remember when they said Hines was going to be involved? He's going to be a major part of the offense this year. Like, he didn't get involved all year. And it's not like he doesn't know how to use him, because the Phillip Rivers year, we saw Hines go off. Hines went off in 2020. And, you know, everything these guys are saying from top to bottom, like, there's clearly an issue with upper management. Like, it's not even just a thing where it's, you know, one thing went wrong this year, two things went wrong this year. Like, this is a disaster from top to bottom. Yep, my guy Jerry, nobody's safe at the trade deadline. Yep, you are right, my man. You are right. I'm watching with 5 minutes left. I'm thinking nobody's getting traded. Boom, he gets traded. So, I don't know.
Yeah, it's weird. And it kind of leads back to the thing we said, is like, where's the direction of this team? Because, like, let's get real here. Let's get realistic. Let's take the fanatic part out of it. Let's get real. You're not winning this year. You're not. Like, it's, even if we somehow make the dance, you're not winning. You're not. Yeah. And I'm okay with that. I accept that.
Me too.
You're not in a position, but flip side, you're not in a position where you need to tear everything down. You have plenty of nice core foundation pieces where, again, one good offseason, you're right back there. Now, obviously, it comes with the hardest part, finding that quarterback. Is Ellinger that guy? We don't know. And in fact, let's just segue and let's get into it. So let's talk his debut, because kind of like we're literally, I said, we were texting about it. We nailed it on the preview.
Yep.
He didn't. He wasn't amazing. He wasn't terrible. No. Nope. It was mid. It was mid.
Yep.
He played better than I expected. Granted, I set a very low bar just because of the circumstances. But he played very mid, made no mistakes. I don't have the stats right now. I'm not even free. I know he finished 201 passing yards. I think about 22 for 27, I think.
Yeah.
You know, a couple of rushes, some nice gains. threw for no touchdowns, threw no picks, ran for no touchdowns. Hines, ironically enough, scored the only touchdown for us in that game. But, I mean, the offense moved.
Yeah.
A couple of fumbles hurt you. A bad drop by MPJ in the last seconds of the game hurt you. Hurt his probably final line. But, like I said in the preview, he's going to play well enough to garner another start. Man, nothing special. What about you? What'd you see?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I seemed like a hater when I said this guy wasn't a franchise quarterback. It seems like I must not know what I'm talking about when I predicted these stats. You know, I guess I don't know what I'm talking about, man, but it's crazy because I literally said this. The guy who he's most comparable to is Taylor Heinicke. We saw the same dudes playing against each other yesterday. Mm-hmm. Well, not yesterday, but on Sunday. Like, you know, it's a bunch of mid, and then you see just like at the end of the game and with Ellinger's long pass to Pierce, like you get like just one splash play here and there, but the rest of it is just like a bunch of like short intermediate passes. You're going to lean on the run game a lot. You're not really, you know, just letting him take control. And that's why I think he's not the guy for the future. Now, granted, it's only been one game. He's going to get six more starts. That's fine. But at the same time, he's not the type of guy where, you know, if we're running, say, no huddle offense, I don't think Sam Ellinger is the guy where you're just letting him control the game. Matt Ryan, even though he's been, you know, messing up, making mental mistakes, you know, he's a vet in this league where, you know, he can control the offense. He can, you know, wave off what the coach is calling and then just call his own shit and then just do that. Sam Ellinger, to me, is not that guy. Just like I said, granted, it's only been one game. He's only going to get more comfortable as the season goes on. But I don't think he's a franchise quarterback. And I think I also predicted this correctly. You know, a lot of the problems on this team, like offensive line, you know, run game, all that, like Sam wasn't going to fix that. So, like, the offensive line, they still couldn't block. Is he a little more mobile and could he make plays outside the pocket and run? Yes, he can. But in this game against the Commanders, we saw, like, Sam is not going to fix all those problems. You're not going to insert a six-round pick and the offensive line magically blocks. Like, they still suck. The running game still hasn't gotten started. You know, Jonathan Taylor, it sucks that he can't get started because this guy with holes, he can break for 200 yards. But I don't know. We'll see with Sam.
Yeah, and then I guess shout out to Jerry. Plus, like, you know, no turnovers, picks ruin a young quarterback's confidence, young QB's kneecaps turn into anything. You know, absolutely. Absolutely. I can't disagree with that at all. And like I said, like I think I said on the preview, if he goes out there and plays similar to Jacoby when we had him, it'll be perfect. Jacoby was very good at taking care of the ball, taking yep. risks when he needs to, but not always. And essentially, like I said, game manager type of stuff. We don't need Sam Ellinger to come here and be a gunslinger.
That's true.
Maybe we will next year. That remains to be seen if he's even the guy. But in terms of, again, a first start, how he played, I'll take it. Because like I said, his one mistake was the fumble.
Yeah, and yeah.
As a rookie quarterback, even though he's year two, as a rookie quarterback, you make one mistake in a football game and still lead some scoring drives, we're good.
Well,
we're good. And obviously, even then, you know, like, now obviously I could get real technical. You know, obviously we lose 17-16. Obviously, you need more than 16 points to win a game.
Yeah.
But, you know, like his fumble, very bad. JT's fumble, probably even worse because those are both obviously at least scoring plays. People want to clown on MPJ for the drop at the end. And look, I get it.
Come on.
It's a bad drop. I get it. It's an absolutely bad drop. I think the problem, though, is that circumstance elevates it to make it look worse than what it actually was. Because yeah. I can easily just counter by saying we shouldn't have even been in that position. But it's a bad drop, absolutely. I get it. That's going to get corrected. You know, Pittman's that guy. We've seen it over this season. He's had some bad drops at key moments. He's still a sure-handed receiver. That's not going to happen consistently going forward in the future. But you hate to see it, basically. It's like you hate to see it, but I'm not going to hold Pittman's feet to the fire for that one.
Yeah, and I'm going to say this back to that one point about him playing like Jacoby. You can afford to play like that if the roster, if the rest of the roster is playing well. Mm-hmm. So, you know, in 2019, when the team, I fully believe, just like I keep saying on every show, if Adam Vinatieri keeps making those kicks in 2019, the year after Luck retires, we make the playoffs that year because we were in every game. Pittman is that guy, yep. But, like, with the offensive line playing this poorly, with the defense, they kind of blew it at the end. Like, you can afford for Sam to be mid to win games, but if the rest of the roster is playing like shit, you can't win games like that. Like, you can't win these grinded out games all the time. But I don't know, man. Like, if that's why, like, you really search for a franchise quarterback in this league, because we see it with the Bills. Like, Josh Allen, he just carries them. He elevates that team so much. So even if they have a lot of guys out, he can win the game for you. This isn't a team where if you have, say, Shaq Leonard out, or if you have Taylor out, and if you have, I don't know, Gilmore out, if you have all of your top players out, this is not a team where you can hand the ball to the quarterback and be like, hey, win the game. This is, like, for him to be mid, the rest of the roster has to come through too. So, and it's just like you said, the circumstance elevated Pittman's drop a little more, but you know, it was nice to see people actually like held Pittman accountable for that, because you know the rest of your roster, they have to come through, and but it does show that, you know, like, nobody's perfect, and even Pittman makes mistakes, because Pittman's been one of the ones who rarely ever drops any balls. You know, he's been ducking a lot of the criticism. You know, people blame the wide receivers a lot, but nobody blames Pittman. But after that drop, you see, you know, everybody has him from here, from time to time. Now, granted, it came at the worst time, but, you know, I'm not going to hold my head over that too much, just like you said, because he's our best player on offense besides Taylor. Well, actually, Taylor hasn't been playing that well, so I will say he is our best player on offense. So, you know, you can't be blaming our best player for making one mistake all year when he consistently showed up the rest of the year.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and like, going back to your quarterback thing, obviously mentioning Josh Allen, it's like Dan Orlowski said, like, at the beginning of the season, there's three like, people want to always tier quarterbacks. In reality, there's three categories. There's the quarterbacks you win because of, there's quarterbacks you can win with, and then there's the trash heap, you know, and Josh Allen's one of those guys where, like, you win the game because of him. Ellinger right now is a guy that you can win with him.
With him.
And that's fine. That's absolutely fine. He doesn't need to be the savior like Luck was. You know, and even then, let's get real. Phillip Rivers, when he came here, he was not the savior. He was a win with guy. I'll say Phillip Rivers elevated our weapons better than, you know, like a Carson Wentz, because he's just that much. That's the gap of quarterback between the two.
Yep,
because I think, honestly, you give this a supporting cast minus the O-line to Phillip Rivers, we're probably killing.
Yeah.
Absolutely killing it. And again, Eldridge, yeah, I'm not – really, I have no shade against Eldridge by the way he played. I was looking that up. 17 for 23 with 201 yards. That's fine. That is absolutely fine. And actually, I'm going to segue into that. Because how about Pierce turning it on? Started slow, turning considered a weapon. Exactly. Because his first game in the season, he had two bad drops. One was a touchdown. One was a big game. And everyone was ready to fire sale it. And I was like, well, you got to give him time. They're bad drops. They're not going to happen again. Look what has not happened again. He's shown that he can be a perfect complement number two to Pittman. Because like we said on this show, Pittman is your over-the-middle guy. He's going to grind for you. Pierce is the, fuck it, I'm down there, throw it. I get it. Like, Pittman has some speed, but Pierce is the threat. Pierce is the threat. You know. And then Campbell, where, let's walk it back again. Now I'm seeing the PC I've wanted to see. And now Campbell's the speed guy, the guy take tops off over the defense. That Ezra 1-2-3, that's good.
Yeah,
that's good. Now you just need a guy in your center who can put all the pieces together. But Pittman, Pierce, and Paris, the killer peas, like I would probably name brand it. That's a very nice core there. I'm still not on that Campbell's earned another contract just yet, but yeah. He's trending towards it
is right. And just like you said, Killer P's, man. I mean, these guys are going crazy right now. Pierce, you know, there was a lot of talk about him coming out saying, you know, we don't know what type of production he's going to provide because of his snap share at Cincinnati and everything like that. But he's proved everybody wrong. I mean, if you look at like his release off the line, like it is special. Like as soon as he starts making his move, he's gone. Especially on those go routes. I mean, dude had the game winner against Jacksonville, 13 seconds left on the 3rd and 13. I mean, the dude is like that. I mean, but regardless of which Paris, you know, gets his contract extension or not, I still think we need more wide receivers. I think, you know, Pierce is turning up, but I feel like in this day and age in NFL, you got to have a multitude of weapons. I mean, we saw with the Bills and Hines just now, they don't need Hines. They're number one seed in the AFC. They're probably going to go to Super Bowl anyway. They don't need him, and they just got better. You know, don't let Pittman and Pierce just make you feel comfortable, because say if one of them goes down, here we go. We're in a situation where we need help again. So I still think we need more help with the position, just because in this day and age in the NFL, you know, it's kind of what you need. And there's a lot of guys, wide receivers in this draft. There's a lot of, you know, different names in free agency. I mean, we just saw with Jacksonville just now. Jacksonville, their wide receiver core is fine. They just went out and traded for Calvin Ridley. Next year, they're going to be loaded up. They're going to have Ridley, Christian Kirk. They're going to have Zay Jones, Marvin Jones. Still got Evan Ingram at tight end. Like, other teams in the AFC South are making moves. Like, we got to start, you know, ramping our offense up. So that's just my take on the whole situation with the receivers and Pierce.
Yeah, and I'm with you on that. And like, to bring it full circle, it's like the AFC South is still garbage. It's still so bad.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
That's the thing. I don't get, like, look, like I understand fire Frank Reich, get rid of Strasser. I understand fire Sale on the sideline, but the roster, no, you don't. There's no need. You're right there.
And yeah,
like Kenny Moe, you can get rid of Kenny Moe. I'm with you.
I thought
on
he
that.
Was gone.
I think he can get rid of him. I think you can find a replacement. I think you can draft a guy. If you decide to open the checkbook, I think you can find someone in free agency. If you can convince Gilmore, because Gilmore's on a 2-year contract, if you can convince him to come back next year and want to stay, I think you keep him. You absolutely keep him.
I agree.
If you can get Yannick back, I think you do it. O-lines get where it gets tricky. I think you need to address right guard on a permanent stance. That's going to have to come be a draft. I still say Raymond's the guy at left tackle. Maybe, though, you re-sign Dennis Kelly just as that kind of like safety option. But I think you still build Raymond to be the left tackle. I guess I'm with you. You know, get another receiver. Sure, why not? But you don't need to blow it up. You absolutely don't. Yeah,
no, you don't need to blow it up. Yeah, there's my boy Raddick here. Yep. Really, to the Jags' biggest trade. I agree with that one, man. I mean, hey, you're getting Lawrence's weapon. I mean, you know, I feel like with as shit as this division is, we're behind because, you know, aside from the Texans, the Texans are still irrelevant as hell to me. The Texans don't exist. But the Titans, we literally were just talking about this. Their roster is mid as hell. And they are 5-2. And that comes down to coaching. They have a great coach. Our roster is leaps and bounds better than ours, and we can't find a rhythm, and that's embarrassing.
Not just coaching. They understand their identity. It's that's true. We have Henry. Give him the ball. Get the fuck out the way.
But hey, they had a rookie quarterback starting their first game last week. He passed for 55. Passes. Yeah, he threw 10 passes. He threw 10 passes. He threw for like 50 yards, and they won the game. Like, that's literally the 2022 Colts with Carson Wentz against New England. He passes for 90 yards. Taylor runs for 240 and 3 tutties, and we win. You know, it's not that hard, but it's coaching. All of this is coaching, and that's where I'm just so confused right now, because our roster is good, but the coaching just isn't there. And we keep talking about this, man. With Philip Rivers that year, he was such a damn good quarterback, and with Nick Sirianni there as well, that masked all of the Frank Reich mishaps because the offensive line was playing well. Defense was playing well. Receivers weren't very good, but they were playing well. Jonathan Taylor playing well. Everything went right that year. The Colts went 11-5. You didn't really notice any of this junk with Frank Reich. But then, you know, you downgrade a quarterback and then everything falls apart. We're seeing all of these inconsistencies with coaching. And I'm on board with you. It's a bit of a retool, but are we going to have a new regime next year? So playing to your team strength. Yep.
Yeah. And like, are we gonna have a new regime? It's absolutely necessary. And I think that the theme of all year, and we've been on it as well, is just what is this team's offensive identity?
It's
unknown. You know, I think you and I came in saying like, okay, we're going to be a run first team, but we have the weapons to where they can't stack the box on him. Taylor has faced an 8-man box on only 8% of his runs this season. Yep. So teams aren't stacking up against him. Him not getting space is purely O-line. You know, now Pittman's been having a very nice season, obviously. He's up there with receivers. Yeah, he's like, again, he's not like top five, and I haven't looked at it. I think he's in the top 10, though, in terms of yards and receptions. I know he's not there on touchdowns, obviously, but he's up there. You know, he's getting notoriety. He's a top dog receiver in this league. He's proven he could be wide receiver one. Pierce has proven to be a nice compliment to Pittman. But we're not a pass-first team. We're not a gunslinging team. I get that. But it's like we're not a running team either. It's like, what are we? Because I've said, you know, game manager squads have some kind of identity. So what is it? Defensively, last year we were a turnover machine.
Yep.
This year it's so weird. It's like we play bend but don't break, but we're not playing bend but don't break. You know what I mean? It's like we don't blitz, but we get pressure, but we force punts. We don't force turnovers. It's confusing. And like, this season is a wash. I get it, but you got to figure this out. And it's going to get really annoying and repetitive to come on this show every week and basically say the same thing. You and I are basically like Frank Reich saying he gets outcoached every week. We need something new to talk about.
Oh, great. Oh, we got a great matchup for coaching this week. Bill Belichick, yeah. Frank Reich is really going to scheme up a great game plan against Bill Belichick, man. Like, it's just like you said, man, the shit's getting old. And the fact that we're still talking about it for 8 weeks is ridiculous. We've been talking about this for 8 weeks. You're thinking at this point something is going to change. You're going to look at your mistakes and instantly, like, change something. But no. So, I don't know, man. It's a tough schedule. Only team that we might go out and beat will probably be Jerry's Raiders. I'm sorry, Jerry, but Josh McDaniels ain't it.
Yeah, man. I don't. It's annoying. It's a long season. I feel like I've been saying it forever. The most annoying thing, and we're gonna end the show soon and jump to something next. The most annoying thing is that we're still in a playoff race, and I don't want to be. Like, I don't want to be in the playoff race, and yet we're in the playoff race. It's the most annoying thing ever. Make it make sense.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think I'll be able to take it personally if Sam, like, leads this team to the playoffs. Because the fans are gonna be crazy. I don't want to hear any of it. I just want to lose out, get a quarterback next year, and that's it. Like, that's all.
Yeah, it's like, that's all. We're gonna end this one off here. Don't go anywhere, because once I end this, we're gonna come jump right back on Twitter, because we've got another giveaway to award. A lot of you participated in our Sam Ellinger contest. Who can catch his first catch, first touchdown? Touchdown didn't happen. The catch did. Also, one of you hit on the money on his passing yards. So we've got something for you. Well, that's going to come literally like within the next 30 seconds. So I thank all you guys for tuning in. Those of you who commented, appreciate that. Appreciate all the support you've given us on this journey. As for myself and Gulick, make sure you check out the Midwest Sports Network YouTube channel. You can catch our videos on there. Soon our live streams will go over there. We're still working on the details on that. Make it a lot easier for you guys to comment on the show and obviously tune in. Definitely on behalf of myself, my co-host Gulick, the first and 56. Signing off. We will see you right back in 30 seconds. But until then, that's 156. We are out.